you have 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you do, out of respect to God's word, would you stand with me? Look, if you would, at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, find verse 17. The Bible says this: "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the" what? "Gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The glorious gospel. The title of the message is The Glorious Gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd help us now to be able to see the power of the gospel, save those that are here that do not know Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray, encourage all of us, and Lord, strengthen us through your spirit like you did Paul. And Lord, change us to be what you want us to be in order to take this gospel and carry it out to others. Lord, fill me, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Imagine with me, we have an old, dilapidated barn that needs to be torn down. And instead of getting a bulldozer or tearing it down some other way, we decide to do it a manly, fun way with dynamite. Dynamite's always fun. And so we place the dynamite inside the old barn. We then run a line from the dynamite over to a detonator box. You know, the box with the handle like Wile E. Coyote used with Roadrunner? And kids, you're going to have to just ask your parents. And so there's a detonator here. We clear the barn. We make sure everybody is far away from it. And then we do the countdown. 10, 9, 8. We keep going. 5, 4. We keep going. 3, 2, 1. And I press down the lever on the detonator. As I do, an explosion like we've never experienced firsthand is just overwhelming. Not only do we have to cover our ears, but we can feel the power of this dynamite on our body. And then also the very earth beneath us is vibrating and shaking because of this powerful dynamite. As the explosion takes place, the barn is now a burning inferno of thousands of pieces of wood and smoke flying everywhere. And as we look towards that incredible demonstration of power, would anyone then look over here at me with the detonator and say, "Wow, Brother Miller, you are so powerful"? "Well, you know, I never thought about that. Maybe I am." No, not a bit. Everyone would recognize the power is in the dynamite. I simply detonated it. We're going to realize and learn the truth here tonight that the power of the gospel is available to every person in this room. It's simply a matter of you detonating it. How do we detonate the power of the gospel to see what the Bible says about the power of the gospel in our witness? And as well, if you're here, what does this gospel mean? And how can you experience the gospel? You say, "If I don't even know if I'm on my way to heaven." Tonight, you can know, and you can know for sure before you leave this place. Look, if you would, and we'll understand three truths about the gospel. Let's notice, first of all, in verses 17 through 21, the power of the gospel. Notice the power of the gospel. It says here, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Let's stop right here. If I were to say the gospel, what would be a good two-word definition? The what? The good news. The gospel means the good news. We'll talk about that more in detail in just a minute. It says, "Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Let's understand, first of all, the power of the gospel preached. That is proclaimed. It has here, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God chooses the preaching of the gospel. Now, for the most part, the preaching, what he's speaking here, is a public demonstration. It is a public gathering where one is preaching and an audience is listening. But preaching can be as well one-on-one. We know with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, he opened up the word of God, the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus, one man to one listener, and he proclaimed or he evangelized and preached to him Jesus. Well, here is as well as this preaching. But you know what? We are going to see this week services where the gospel is going to be presented. If there is going to be a time, have you ever sat in a service and you heard the message on the gospel and you say, wow, man, if I weren't saved, I'd be saved then. If that was so clear, or that was so simple. We want those type of gospel presentations to be this week. Get unsaved folks in to hear the preaching of the gospel this week. Ask that neighbor. You say, well, I've asked him before. Maybe all the other times before it was to get them ready for this time. And you don't know what they're going through. You don't understand, perhaps, what their needs are at the time. And just now, maybe, they're waiting for you to ask that one more time. Ask that fellow employee. Ask that friend. And to be able to encourage them to come and hear the preaching of the gospel. It is something to get people under a preaching message of 30 or 40 minutes or whatever it is, and then have that opportunity to talk with them and share with them the gospel. The power of the gospel preached is an amazing thing. But not only that, we need to see this, that the power of the gospel is able to save absolutely anyone. Do you believe that? The power of the gospel is able to save absolutely anyone. Now look here, it mentions verse 19, for instance. It says, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Don't evolutionists and atheists condescend and think they're so smart and so wise. In reality, they're denying things. You think, wow, if someone cannot be saved, it may be that atheist. It may be that evolutionist. It may be that Muslim. It may be that person even that would be Jewish. Look, if you would, at verse 20, it says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And then he mentions the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is powerful enough to save anyone. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Anyone can believe. No one is past, if they're still alive, if they're still breathing, we think, wow, that person's too hard, that person's too cold, that person's too entrenched with a liberal mentality, an atheistic teaching, a humanistic philosophy. And yet the power of the gospel can penetrate all of that. Pastor and I were talking today and said, you know what, if you get caught in one of those coal mines or if you get caught out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you know what, you're going to stop being an atheist real quick. You're going to call out for help to somebody, and you're going to pray. You know what? The gospel is powerful enough to save anyone, but maybe there's somebody in your life that you think is too hard, too cold, too distant. I had that person. He was a neighbor of mine. His name was Larry. I grew up in a place called Indianapolis, Indiana. Heard of it? Grew up on the east side. That's a bad part of town. And we had some rough neighbors, and my neighbor, he was kind of rough. I had a job as a teenager. I'd go around mow the lawns and do lawn work and such, and I loved it. And I got to know Larry. His last name was Miller, but no relationship. And I got to know him through mowing his yard. Well, he was the kind of guy, as soon as he'd come home, he'd crack open the beer. You know, he's usually come home, if it's summer, he'd be out immodestly in his yard or whatever, and if it's the weekend, it'd be the whole six-pack or more. You know, just living for pleasure, living for the weekend, living for the here and now, like the world. And I thought, man, if anybody can't get saved, it's my neighbor, Larry. You know what, I was a teenager. I was about 15, I thought, you know, I need to give him the gospel. So I'm going to go over and mow his yard, and I thought, hey, can you read this track? I call it a pamphlet. Would you read this pamphlet? And it can show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Or you explain those things. And I'd give him another one or whatever. And I ask, hey, did you read it? He said, oh, yeah, I read it. I said, okay, did you understand that part about being a sinner? Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you understand a part of that about being separated from sin and the wages of sin is death? And, oh, yeah. Do you understand that part that Jesus died for your sins and he paid for all of your sins? And, oh, yeah, yeah. Do you understand the part about trusting Christ as Savior? One decision about believing on him, faith alone in Christ alone. And it was like talking to a piece of wood. He didn't read it. He was just talking, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was just kind of trying to get me off of that and go on to the next thing. And I'd invite him to church, never come. Just rough man, rough lifestyle, rough mouth. And every once in a while, he'd give me a call. Not necessarily just to do yard work. One time he called me and said, hey, Chris, I'm having an attack. What is it? Heart attack? Cardiac arrest? No, a Dairy Queen attack. Very intense. And so it was a Dairy Queen attack. I had to get permission from mom and dad. And I said, yeah, you can go. And so I'd go just three blocks down from our house was a Dairy Queen. And over ice cream, I talked to him about his soul and about heaven. And I tell you, it was like talking to a piece of wood. I thought, nothing is getting through to my neighbor, Larry. Well, I went off to Bible college, and he moved away to Florida. And I remember as he did so, I received a letter several months later. And I was in the kitchen, and I opened up the envelope, and I put the return envelope on the kitchen table. I set that down, and I took the letter, and I went into the living room. I sat down on the couch, and I began to read it. I noticed right away he had a different vocabulary. Not only were they're clean words, they were Christian terms. Well, that's interesting. And then he said, he got to the part, he said, remember all those times that you talked to me about my soul or how to be saved? Now listen. And I acted as if it wasn't getting through. Well, it was. And because of you, today I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I didn't believe it. I literally did this, folks. I went to the third page of that letter to see if Larry Miller really signed it. I ran back into the dining room. I grabbed the envelope. Larry Miller, Chris Miller, this, there must be some mistake. I'm going, God, this is the guy that can't get saved. And he got saved. You know, every few months or so, he'd give me a call. And he's still alive. And he's in his 70s now. And he calls me his little buddy. He's kind of big, and I'm not. And he goes, how's my little buddy? And I said, oh, I'm doing pretty good. And, you know, I said, well, you know, our ministry, we're praying for something. He goes, well, you know, God's going to provide for you, don't you? I'm going, wait a minute. Here's a guy that can't get saved, and now he's preaching to me. You know, it was a Baptist pastor down there in Florida that visited him, gave him the gospel with just that. You know, all those times I was just sowing water. I didn't see it. But finally, someone harvested, and he shares his story on our DVD. That's incredible. He's in the same church for almost 20 years now. He drove the van as long as he could. He's a little bit too old now for that. One of the kids got saved. Several of them did. One of them became youth pastor. And then now is off pastoring another church. All because of my neighbor on the east side of Indianapolis that couldn't get saved. Do you have a Larry in your life? Why don't you say, dear God, help me again to believe in the power of the gospel. Number one, let's notice the power of the gospel. Let's ask the question this. Why is the gospel so powerful? Number two is because of the person of the gospel. Notice the person of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1, look if you would at verses 22 through 25. It says this, for the Jews require a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God, is, if there is any, is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. He says here, the power of the gospel is Christ himself. We preach Christ crucified. It is Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. There is no wisdom I could have to be able to manipulate or manufacture or try to get the conversation to be able to psychologically lead someone and outmaneuver them. But the Holy Spirit, taking his word and the very person of Jesus Christ, can have all the power and all the wisdom. Let's notice, first of all, the message of this person. The message of the person is simply this, the good news. What is the good news all about? Well, let's ask it more like this. Who is the good news all about? It's about the person of Jesus Christ. If we're going to say, where is the gospel mentioned in the Word of God? Where there could be several places, couldn't there not? But in 1 Corinthians, where would we go? Chapter 15. Now, we need to know that and we need to see that. So all of us, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Find, if you would, we'll go ahead and begin in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here is the good news, the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, what he did for us. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The Bible says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received," that's important, "and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." By the way, already I underlined three words in my Bible. In verse 1, I underlined the gospel, received, and then in verse 2, saved. The gospel was presented and delivered. They received it, and they were saved because of it. Look at verse 2. It says, "If you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain," but they haven't believed in vain. Verse 3 and 4 explains what the gospel is. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's stop right there. Here is the gospel. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe we need to include as well according to the Scriptures. It's not according to Blessed Hope. It's not according to this person. It's not according to this evangelist or this pastor or whoever. It is according to the Word of God. "Thus saith the Lord," the authority right here is God's Word. I know it is true because the Bible says so. It's according to the Scriptures. But it is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Why is that good news? Well, let's imagine, okay, let's say we go to, Walmart. We have to go a long ways to go to Walmart. Not too far, I guess, for out here. By the way, today I went visiting with Pastor. I saw parts of Indiana I never thought existed. There's one-way gravel roads. It's not a driveway. It's a road. And I thought it was a driveway. Oh, that was exciting. Okay, I'm in the country. So anyway, let's say we go all the way to Linton or wherever, to Walmart. And we see somebody and we say, "Hey, you know what? I want to invite you to our services. And we're going to have some gospel services where we present the gospel. And here's a little pamphlet that can explain that. Do you want to hear the good news?" "Yeah, I want to hear that good news." "Okay, here it is. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again." Now let's imagine the person at Walmart, which is still very possible, has never been to church, never heard the gospel, has never read a Bible. The only thing they know about Jesus is what the media and movies say. Okay? And you just told them Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And you said, "This is good news. Someone died? And it's good? Is it good because they're not dead anymore?" I mean, think about what an unsaved person's going through. They would say, "Why? Why is it good?" If we're going to present the gospel, there's one more phrase in verse 3 we must include. Look at verse 3. It says this, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died." What's the next three words? "For our sins." It is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, in our place. Listen, if you're here and you do not know for sure about heaven, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is our highest privilege, and it is the good news of the Word of God that explains that Jesus, God's Son, left heaven to die, not for his sins, but for our sins. He died for all the disobedience, all the selfishness, all the pride, all the filthy thoughts and words and anything that I have done against God and what you've done against God. And Jesus Christ was buried. And when he died for all of our sins. He was buried and he rose again, conquering that sin and death, paying in full the payment and penalty for our sin. So Jesus is in heaven. All you need to do is receive by faith. Notice what they did. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which also ye have, which I preach unto you, which you also have received." and you were saved. And then it mentions later in verse 2, it says you believed. In verse 3, you received. It reminds me of John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's not 2 steps or 5 steps or 10 steps. It's simply one decision. When you receive Jesus Christ, you're believing on him. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you're receiving him. It is this truth. What will you say, well, what about other things? Yes, you need to understand these truths. You need to come to understanding, but it isn't 10 lists of things. Aren't you glad for God's simple plan? Would you today, tonight, if you're here, change your mind? That is, repent of any other idea that I can save myself. There is no God. Humanism is the way. Evolution is true. No. Change your mind and believe in God, the creator of the Bible, and his son, Jesus Christ, and place your faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. The person of the gospel is Jesus Christ. And this is the message, the death, the burial, the resurrection for our sins. Jesus died for us. Now, there's a mystery also, this person of the gospel. There's a mystery of the inspired word of God and the incarnate word of God. Jesus said, in the beginning was the word. He's talking about himself. You know, Jesus also said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All authority is given to me. Now, go and teach, and lo, I am with you. You know, it's okay if Jesus is with us. It's all right. So we can trust him to help us. You see, we're going to get to, in just a moment, the real thing that stops us more than anything else from giving out the gospel. Would we go ahead and look at it? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll see what it is. In chapter 1, we've seen so far the power of the gospel. The reason for the power of the gospel is the person of the gospel. So secondly, we saw the person of the gospel. The message of that person is Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, resurrection for our sins. The mystery is Jesus is with us. And that goes right into the presentation. Number 3 is the presentation of the gospel. How do we present the gospel to others? Verse 26, chapter 2, and verse 5. Look, if you would, at chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Let's stop right here. We're going to continue through the list in just a second. There are 2 elements in presentation of the gospel. Now, I don't mean physical, or I don't mean a presentation as in, okay, here it is, what you say, step 1, 2, 3, ABC. I'm talking about the spiritual dynamics or the spiritual elements. The first one we're going to see is this list of human weakness. It's our human weakness. It says, you see your calling, brethren? How about not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called? Verse 27, 1:27. Look there. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things, that's low. And things which are despised and hated. And God had chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught or to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Oh, but Jesus Christ, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What is this first aspect? The first aspect is, here is human weakness. You know what? People come up to me and they'll say, well, you know, I would witness, but I just don't have that personality. I would witness, but I don't have that gift. Do you know there is no gift of, boom, you have the gift of being a soul winner and nobody else does? No. You know, that the evangelist is not a super soul winner. I'm come and you're to follow my example. No. My suit is just flapping in the breeze or something. I've never done that before. I bet you that was really looking awkward. I'm not that. There's no like glow about somebody that, okay, there you have the spiritual gift of soul winning. That's for all of us. Right. You say, well, how do you know? Because God chooses the weak and the foolish and the base and those that aren't noble and the despised. Regular folks who say, I'm not suited for it. I don't have the personality. I don't have the ability. I can't talk very well. Great. You're the one God has chosen. Oh, man. I can't get off the hook. No, you can't get off the hook. Human weakness. Say, Brother Miller, why don't you tell me something I don't know that I'm not, I already see my weakness. But we need to recognize this aspect first of all. And because of this, we have a problem. And this is the big elephant in the room. The thing that stops us. The thing that is the biggest. Now, there are several things, I believe, that stop us from giving the gospel. But here's what I think is the biggest. Look at chapter 2, and let's go ahead and look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 2, 3, it says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who's speaking here? The Apostle Paul under inspiration of the Holy Spirit? The Apostle Paul? Maybe one of the greatest Christians in the New Testament age? He says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." I underline those three words, weakness, fear, and trembling, because not only did they describe the great Apostle Paul, but they described evangelist Chris Miller. The thing that stops us is our fear. Because what we do is this, is we focus on this aspect of human weakness. It'd be like taking the detonator box and saying, "Well, I can't do anything with this. I can't blow up and demolish the barn with this detonator box. There's nothing I can do with it." You're right. There's the human weakness aspect. But that doesn't stop there. We have human weakness, but the second spiritual element in any gospel presentation is the Spirit's power. We have human weakness on this side, and on this side we have the Spirit's power. They must go together. That is God's divine plan. You say, "I'm weak. I can't do it." Yes, I know. God says, "That is why I've chosen you." Right. Why? Why would God do that? Verse 29 of chapter 1, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I get no credit for people getting saved. None. Jesus Christ gets it all. The Spirit gets it all. Not me at all. It is the Spirit's power. Look at the Spirit's power in verse 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. "And my preaching and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit." In demonstration of the Spirit and of power, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The power of God is the dynamite over here. The human weakness is the detonator over here. We've got to learn how to detonate the power of the gospel. Are you ready? How do you detonate it? If you're here as a Christian, how do you detonate the power of the gospel to see souls saved? If you're here and you don't know about heaven, you say, "Chris, I don't know if my sins are forgiven." You can today. How do you detonate the gospel so you feel the impact of God saving your soul and taking you to heaven? It's the same decision in two aspects. It's coming over here to the detonator box. I could say, "You know what? I'm going to give out the gospel." "Oh, it's probably not going to work. Now, I don't know." We could come over here to the detonator box and the barn is full of dynamite and everybody's watching and waiting. Say, "Okay, 10, 9, 8, 3, 2, 1. No, folks, I'm so sorry. It's not going to work." Say, "Brother Miller, just push down the lever. Don't you believe? Don't you believe that the dynamite's powerful enough?" Yes. then detonate it and let it do its work. Believing is the decision to detonate. When you believe on the gospel as a Christian and saying, okay, I'm going to give out the power of the gospel, I'm going to give out the gospel and the power of the Spirit, then at that point, when you come to faith and expectancy, then at that point, you're activating the power of the Spirit. If you're here and say, I don't know if I'm saved. Oh, God could never save me. Oh, no, no. No, what you need to do is say, realize this, that powerful gospel can save absolutely anyone in this room, anyone in Jasonville, anyone in the surrounding areas. God can save anyone. And God can save me, and you detonate and say, Jesus Christ, I'm trusting you. I'm believing. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Would you tonight detonate the gospel? Do you need to trust Christ as Savior? Just believe. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask for you to allow me to pray for you. Me praying for you will not save you. But I'll pray for you that you will make that decision on your own for yourself to believe in Jesus Christ to save you. We'll have someone that could even help you and explain that and help you in a prayer to make that decision. If you're here and you say, Brother Miller, I'm saved. I've got to tell you, fear stops me. I know. If we wouldn't talk about fear, you know, we'd have to be dishonest. Even ones that have gone out before. You know, I can go out just kind of casually. I can go out hesitantly. I could go out fearfully. But when you go out and you say, I believe it. I believe the gospel is the power of God. And I'm expecting God to use the powerful dynamite. And I believe that the Spirit of God can use me. There's a difference. Are you going with that expectation? Are you going with that faith, full of the Holy Spirit, saying, Dear God, I do believe. Or, no, I go out thinking, well, it's probably not going to do any good anyway. Well, I don't know if I really see someone saved. Have you ever gone, maybe for your first time, door to door? You know, that's a big deal. Maybe you're the silent partner, and then finally it's your turn to knock on the door. And you knock on the door, and you pray, Dear God, please help. No one to be home. Because you're scared. Can we just admit it? You know what we need is groups to gather together and say, okay, you scared? Yeah, me too. Okay. Well, let's trust God. The gospel is powerful enough. Without me, without you, without our presentations, without our psychological maneuvering, without manipulating someone, you can go out and I can go out and trust the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to make it work. And people can and will be saved. I believe it. Do you? Let's believe God tonight in the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give it? Help us to simply and, Lord, sweetly tonight believe you to detonate the power of the gospel. Lord, you're going to have to do this work, and I pray you'd help us to go, but not just to go, but go believing. Go with this faith, full of faith, that your gospel is powerful and your Holy Spirit can use us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help with this invitation. Lord, guide us in it. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, this is what we call the invitation, where we invite you to make a decision based upon the truth of God's word that you've heard. If you're here and you say, Chris, brother, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know about this heaven stuff, and I've not trusted Jesus as my Savior. But I want to, and I need to. I see tonight, I've not trusted Jesus as my Savior, but I do need to. Would you pray for me right where I'm seated? Would you pray for me? I've not trusted Jesus. I'm not saved, but would you pray for me? As I'm asking this, I'm going to ask no one else to look around except for myself and the two men that would be helping me up here counseling. If you need that prayer, would you just slip your hand up just even right now? Say, that's me. I've not trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. No one else looking around, just myself, Pastor Ross, another brother to help us. Anyone say, that's me tonight? Let me ask this. Who here would say, preacher, I know one thing for sure, is if I died right now, I'm on my way to heaven. I know I've trusted Jesus, and I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, you have full assurance, can you raise your hand? Say, I know I'm on my way to heaven tonight. God bless you. You can put your hand out all throughout the room. You can place your hands down. I couldn't see anyone that didn't raise their hand. Perhaps if you could not raise your hand tonight, you say, I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. I'm uncertain about this. Would you let me pray for you right now? If you're here and say, I don't know if I died, if I would definitely go to heaven or not, would you pray for me? If that's you, can you raise your hand? Anyone like that, just real quickly. God bless you. Thank you so much. I will pray for you. Anyone else to say, that's me also? I'm not for sure if I would die, if I'd go to heaven. Anyone else real quickly? You know, that's so important. I remember they, just like this, it was on a Sunday though for me, that I had to make that decision and know for sure. And I got it settled that day. Anyone else real quickly? Well, God bless you. I will pray for you, this one that raised their hand, and I'm going to encourage you to make the decision, get that settled, and know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Let me ask, as a Christian here tonight, you're saved. You say, Brother Miller, I've been going. And you say, maybe I haven't been going. But the thing is, I do let fear come in. And I do let unbelief come in. Tonight, I need to see that the gospel is powerful and believe it. And I need to see that the power of the Spirit is available for me. And I haven't been detonating the power of the Holy Spirit like I ought to. And God's spoken to me about going in faith, believing. If that's you, can you raise your hand throughout the room? God bless you. Good. Praise the Lord. That's tremendous. You can put your hands down. Would you look this way? Would everyone, would you look right here? In just a moment, we'll stand and I'll pray. Finish praying. I'm going to ask the pianist to play on that very first note. If you raised your hand, would you step out and find a place to pray? And if you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, in a moment, I'll pray for you. But I'm going to encourage you to step out. Would you come to the nearest aisle, come to one of these men, just right here, pastor, or someone else, myself, and we'll be here at the front, and just say, I'm not for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know how to be saved. Something like that. We'll know exactly what you're talking about, and we'll help you to know for sure before you leave that you're on your way to heaven. That's so important. Would you come tonight? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give it? Lord, I pray that you would help with this one, especially that does not know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Give that clarity, give that full assurance if they've not made the decision to trust Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, help them to come right now. Lord, I pray that you'd help others, these dear Christians. Lord, help us to go in faith and believe in you. Lord, I ask that you'd work in all of our hearts and our lives. Give us your grace and your power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.